Welcome to Bible Talk, the program that gives Bible answers to Bible questions. This program is brought to you by the St. James Church of Christ in St. James. Your speaker is Lynn Huggins, preacher with the St. James Church of Christ.
In the historic record of the book of Acts are many examples of conversions in which we find the apostles and other preachers leading people to Christ. The value of such examples of conversions cannot be overstated. These conversions occurred at the preaching of Holy Spirit-inspired men, and the account of the conversions was recorded for us to read by a Holy Spirit-inspired writer, Luke. We then can be assured that these examples of conversion inform us what it takes for one today to be converted to Jesus Christ and to be saved. You know, today we hear or see different gospels being proclaimed. Even when many of the gospel facts are faithfully proclaimed, sometimes people are being told to respond in a manner not found in the inspired text. By reading and studying the book of Acts and following the examples given there, we can be sure that we are doing exactly what God has commanded for us to be saved. Well, today I want to study the conversion of the Jews at Pentecost, recorded in Acts chapter 2. First, though, let's consider the background of this case of conversion. The occasion was the first Pentecost after the resurrection of Christ. After Jesus' resurrection and before His ascension to heaven, He told His apostles to wait in the city of Jerusalem until they be endued with power from on high. Read Luke 24, verse 49. Jesus told them, "You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you." Acts 1 and verse 8. You see, the Holy Spirit would then guide them in the preaching of the gospel. And so after Jesus ascended to heaven, the apostles returned to Jerusalem where they waited. In Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 4, Luke informs us that when the day of Pentecost had fully come, the Holy Spirit came. The text says, "They, that is the apostles, were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance." Now, these other tongues were languages they did not know, but which many in their audience did know. Verse 5 says, "And there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven." You see, many of these Jews had traveled from other nations for the day of Pentecost, and they spoke different languages. Verse 6 says that everyone heard them speak in his own language. The people were amazed and perplexed. The apostles, you see, were Galileans, and the people wondered how they were able to hear, each in their own language, what was being said by the apostles. Some mocked, accusing the apostles of being drunk. Well, Peter explained to them what had happened. They were not drunk. It was too early in the day for that. Rather, Peter tells them what they were observing was a fulfillment of prophecy, the prophecy of Joel, in which God promised to pour out His Spirit on all flesh. Joel 2, verses 28-32. So, we find a large gathering of religious Jews, initially drawn by the miraculous events which occurred this day in Jerusalem. Having explained the meaning of the events, Peter immediately proceeds with a sermon about Jesus. Peter began with the miracles of Jesus, of which his audience was well acquainted, and he presents them as evidence that Jesus was approved of God. He laid the blame of Jesus' death at their feet, but said it was in keeping with God's predetermined plan. He then declared that God raised Jesus from the dead, and he provided three lines of evidence. First, the testimony of David, quoting from Psalm 16, a psalm of David that predicted the resurrection of the Christ. And secondly, the testimony of the 12 apostles, who were eyewitnesses of Jesus' resurrection. And then thirdly, the testimony of the Holy Spirit's outpouring that they had just observed. The outpouring of the Holy Spirit was evidence of Christ's exaltation to the right hand of God and Christ receiving from the Father the promise of the Spirit. The evidence was overwhelming that this Jesus was whom he claimed to be. Peter reached the climax of his sermon in verse 36. He said, "Therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made this Jesus whom you crucified both Lord and Christ." Yes, this Jesus whom you crucified is Lord. He is ruler. And He is Christ. That is, the anointed King. Now, notice the response of the listeners. Verse 37 says, "Now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart, and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, 'Men and brethren, what shall we do?'" They were cut to the heart. They were convinced of who Jesus is, and they were convicted of their sins. And they asked, "What shall we do?" And Peter told them what to do. He said, "Repent, and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." Verses 40 and 41 says, "And with many other words he testified and exhorted them, saying, 'Be saved from this perverse generation.' Then those who gladly received his word were baptized, and that day about 3,000 souls were added to them." Yes, about 3,000 people are converted to Jesus Christ and are saved. Well, what took place here? What can we learn from this case of conversion? Well, first of all, these who were converted to Christ were converted through hearing the preaching of the Word. Notice verse 37 again. It says, "Now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart." What convinced them of the truth and convicted their heart of sin? Well, it was hearing the preaching of the Word. As Peter presented the evidence of Jesus' lordship and kinghood, he was bringing his audience to a realization of their error and their need of change. And this is consistent throughout all the cases of conversion in the book of Acts. We're not convicted by some mysterious moving of the Holy Spirit directly on our hearts, but the Holy Spirit convicts and converts through the preaching of the Word which He has revealed. Paul said in Romans 10, verse 17, "Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God." Dear listener, whenever you read the Word of God or hear it proclaimed, the Holy Spirit is working on your heart. And then secondly, for these sinful Jews to be saved from their sins, they were commanded to repent and each of them be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. Verse 38. He tells them to repent, that is, turn away from all sin and commit their lives to Jesus, who is Lord and Christ. And he tells them to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Now, we know that this baptism is a baptism in water. Read Acts 10, verses 47 and 48. And we know that this baptism is an immersion in water. Read Acts 8, verses 36 through 39, and Romans 6 and verse 4. In addition to repenting, he tells each of them to be baptized, immersed in water. But why were they to repent and be baptized? Well, Peter says, for the remission of sins. You know, some have contended that the preposition "for" in this phrase, "for the remission of sins," means "because of." They say that these Jews were commanded to be baptized because they had already had the remission of their sins. Well, first of all, I think it is important to note here that both of these actions, repent and be baptized, were to be done. And secondly, both of these actions, repent and be baptized, are connected to the prepositional phrase, "for the remission of sins." Peter did not just say, "Repent for the remission of sins," and he did not just say, "Be baptized for the remission of sins." What he did say is, "Repent, and each of you be baptized for the remission of sins." What this means is that repentance and baptism stand in exactly the same relation to the remission of sins. And that relation to the remission of sins, which is the same for both repentance and baptism, is expressed by the preposition for the remission of sins. Now, if the word "for" means "because of," that would mean they had the remission of sins before they repented. They're commanded to repent because their sins had already been forgiven. Well, that's not what this passage is saying. The Greek word which is translated for here in the English is the Greek word eis. Well, what does the Greek preposition eis mean? Well, the fundamental significance of the eis is into. This basic meaning will be modified by usage in various contexts, but into remains the fundamental significance. Here in Acts 2 and verse 38, Peter tells the Jews to repent and each of them be baptized, eis, into the remission of sins. You see, repentance and baptism then are viewed as bringing one into the remission of sins. They bring him into the sphere, the state, or condition in which he has the remission of sins or the forgiveness of sins. When this is put into idiomatic English, it reads something like, repent and each of you be baptized in order to obtain the remission of sins. And that is the way the authorities translate Peter's statement. The New International Version translates the passage, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, so that your sins may be forgiven. Now, we know that this is what this phrase means, because this same prepositional phrase is also found in Matthew 26, verse 28, where Jesus says, for this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. Notice, Jesus said that his blood was shed for the remission of sins. The phrase for the remission of sins in this passage is identical with that in Acts 2 and verse 38 in both the English translation and in the Greek original. Why was the blood of Jesus shed? Well, it was for the remission of sins. Well, the phrase can only mean to obtain the forgiveness of sins. And so, why were the Jews commanded to repent and be baptized? For the remission of sins. That is, in order to obtain the forgiveness of sins. It is clear that it is not enough just to believe in Jesus to be saved. We must show our faith by repenting and being baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. As we mentioned at the beginning of the program, there are different gospels being proclaimed today as to how to be saved. But if one follows the examples of conversions recorded in the book of Acts, he can know for sure that he is obeying the one gospel. Why not obey the one gospel today? Well, our time is gone for today, and we thank you for listening. If you would like a free audio CD copy of today's program, or a transcript of this program, or of any of our Bible Talk broadcast, then just give us your name and address along with the title of the program that you would like a copy of, and we will be glad to send it to you absolutely free of charge. Now, there are three ways that you may send in your request. You may email it in. Our email address is sjchurch@sjchurchofchrist.com. Or you may call it in. Our telephone number is 573-265-8628. Or you may mail it in through the U.S. Postal Service. Our address is Bible Talk, P.O. Box 308, St. James, Missouri, 65559. Before we close, we want to invite you to check out our website. On this website, you're able to hear sermons on a variety of Bible topics, and you're also able to hear previous Bible Talk radio broadcasts. The web address is sjchurchofchrist.com. That's sjchurchofchrist.com.
You have been listening to Bible Talk, brought to you by the St. James Church of Christ in St. James. You are invited to the services of the St. James Church of Christ, Sunday morning at 9:30 for Bible classes and 10:15 for worship, Sunday evening at 5 for worship, Wednesday night Bible classes at 7. The church building is located at 685 Sydney Street in St. James, where Sydney Street and Highway B intersect. Thank you for listening, and join us again next week at this same time for Bible Talk.